the latest news and events. The Weekend Dive.
We think they're asking for too much.
Annuncio vobis,
Gaudium Magnum. A great joy.
Welcome back to The Weekend Dive. I'm Rory O'Neill. Artificial intelligence, AI, holds great hope for finally curing diseases like cancer. Right now, more than 200,000 women around the world will die from ovarian cancer each year, a number that could nearly double by the year 2050. This week, a new consortium was formed to try and reverse that trend. Let's bring in Audra Moran, the president and CEO of Ovarian Cancer Research Alliance. Now, Audra, what exactly did you announce this week?
Well, very exciting announcement. We have banded together with some of our sister organizations from around the world. So we are partnering with other ovarian cancer organizations in Canada, Australia, and the UK. And we're Ovarian Cancer Research Alliance here in the United States. So the four of us have banded together to form this research consortium. And we're launching a $1 million AI grant for ovarian cancer. And Microsoft, who's a partner of ours, their AI for Health lab, is actually going to be donating $1 million in compute power, is what they call it. So it's really a possibility of almost a $2 million grant with the in-kind donation. It's really exciting. Our goal is to impact survival rates. Because as you noted, I mean, we're on a trend upward, and we've got to stop that.
Yeah, and the survival rates, particularly for ovarian cancer, just are not good, where we've seen so much success with treating breast cancer and diagnosing it early, not the same kind of attention to ovarian cancer.
That's absolutely correct. You know, part of the problem is there's no method of early detection. And we're finding out now from a very large recent study that, you know, even if you detect it earlier, you need to detect it much earlier, probably 5 years before symptoms ever even start. And so that's where we think AI will have great potential.
Now, ovarian cancer took my mom, and I know that also the symptoms are so diffuse that doctors often don't even start to go down that path of suspecting ovarian cancer.
That's true. And I'm sorry about your mom. Yeah, it's absolutely true. The symptoms are fairly vague, especially for women, you know, bloating, frequent urination, maybe different bowel habits and also eating, you know, you can be affected at any point in time as a woman sometimes with those symptoms. So, you know, many women will experience them for many months before they go to a doctor. And I think the message I would give, though, is that, you know, a lot of people blame themselves. Oh, if I had just gone when I first, you know, felt that little whatever. And you should always listen to your body and go to your doctor, of course. But I hate for patients to feel that. You know, I want to take that away a little bit because probably, you know, whatever the course of the disease is going to be, I think, at that point. And that's why earlier detection with AI is going to be so important.
Well, right. So how do you want AI to be used here? Is it detection? Because you said you want to focus on outcomes. So is it detection, treatment, a little of both?
All of the above. You know, it's had such success in other disease states so far, you know, with breast and lung and prostate. I mean, there've been a number of breakthroughs with AI. So yeah, our hope is that it will not only help with early detection, but also with better treatments, because treatments are really rough. And it could be more personalized, identifying biomarkers, which would help us identify it earlier. There's a number of applications, and I think ultimately it will just be good for patients.
You know, we've heard them say that they want to make cancer almost a chronic condition. Is that something that could happen with ovarian cancer as well?
We certainly hope so. I mean, of course, we would love to cure ovarian cancer someday, but I think prevention is going to be key. And yes, hopefully there'll be treatments that just allow you to live with the disease until we get that cure.
And, you know, I stated some of the numbers there. It sounds like a pretty significant increase, though, in the number of ovarian cancer cases is expected in the years ahead. Is that lifestyle? Is that diet? Is that detection?
That's an interesting question, because in the United States, we actually have seen a slight decrease recently. As you mentioned, there's a large projection for the year 2050. And I think some of that is probably all of what you just asked. Other countries might be a bit behind us. So in the U.S., we think it's probably the reason for the decline here might be contraception, because that actually has protective effects, better treatments. You know, there's things like that. But when you add in the whole world, which is also why this, you know, this international partnership of ours is so important, I think that's where you're going to see those numbers increasing by 2050.
Because we've seen especially more cancer diagnoses here in the States among women and younger women in particular, which is really alarming.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, so that's why we encourage people to have genetic testing, because obviously there are certain genetic mutations like the BRCA gene, which can confer risk and in younger women as well. So we tell people to talk to their families. You know, a lot of people don't talk about cancer, or you know someone in your family had cancer, but you don't know what kind. Oh, I know my grandma died of whatever. And we say, please, you know, talk to people. It'd be important to know if there's prostate cancer in your family, if there's pancreatic cancer, if there's ovarian or breast cancer, or endometrial, which is uterine. So I think that's a really important conversation. We have a free genetic testing program available on our website, ocrahope.org, where you can actually go. And if you qualify, you take a short quiz, we'll actually give you free genetic testing.
And I don't want to put you on the spot as someone who focuses on ovarian cancer. I don't want to force you to be a tech person, but can you explain how AI can help here?
Well, you know, we've been funding with Microsoft for different researchers for several years. And I know I had the opportunity to visit one lab at Memorial Sloan Kettering. And our researcher there was doing exactly what we talked about in early detection, but with blood tests, but so much earlier. Again, I mean, you know, this is kind of, the technology's not there yet. You know, right now there are blood tests that can identify if someone actively has, you know, a ovarian, but the numbers aren't quite there. He's looking, and it would be early enough that intervention would be possible, you know, an actual successful intervention. So that's one way. Better treatments. I mean, as I said, the treatments are brutal. And a personalized approach, that's what AI can allow. It's done in another cancer, so we hope we can do it for ovarian.
And I'm wondering, too, then you have to get insurance companies on board for this, right? If you're going to have this kind of testing early on, someone's got to pay for it.
You absolutely do. We actually advocate. We are the only organization advocating for gynecologic cancers in D.C. We have a team there on the ground, and they're always working on bills like that to make sure certain things are included, you know, for gynecologic cancers. And this is going to be a big one. There is a multi-cancer detection test out right now that is successful in other cancers. And it's shown some promise with ovarian, but again, the numbers aren't quite there. But we've been advocating for that to be included in Medicare.
And I suppose just with the work that you do every day, an announcement like you had this week must make you feel a little bit more hopeful that we're that much closer?
Absolutely. You know, it was so exciting. We were actually with our international partners in a meeting in October when this all started. We've been thinking about this for years. We've been doing AI on our own. But to come together with these other leaders who all are sharing the same concerns that we do and talking about the power of harnessing collaboration, you know, not caring where a cure comes from. We don't care where a cure comes from. And bringing all these people together that you think, oh, the World Wide Web, it must connect everyone. Well, it doesn't necessarily. Right. And it's something like this grant that we're doing, provides such hope, because I think this is going to bring people together, maybe in a little bit of an unnatural way, which is good. People that haven't worked together before. AI people coming together with gynecologic oncologists. I mean, that's exciting to us.
Audra Moran is president and CEO of Ovarian Cancer Research Alliance, with news this week that a consortium is forming to help boost this research thanks to the use of AI. Audra, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having us.